Hello everyone, you are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom and my name is Brandon. Today we begin our parenting article entitled Biology Matters. And in the studio with me I have two panelists, Albert and Lois. Welcome to the program.
Hi Brandon, great to be here.
It's good to be here.
Yes, and you see this entitled as, or labeled as a parenting article, but then we're talking about biology, so it's also science involved here, Albert.
Right. And it's also involving parenting, so yeah, that's pretty awesome to have Lois here.
So we're glad, yes, that Lois is here because you are a parent, Lois.
Yes, I have two children grown up, and they're both married, but young, and well, one's still in their 20s and one's 30, so.
Okay, so you have some experience.
Definitely.
That you can share with us, I'm sure, throughout the next 2 days. And then biology. Now, when I hear biology, it makes me think of college and makes me think of the fact that that was probably one of the most difficult classes that I actually took because I'm not into science, really. And so I feel like biology was quite challenging because there's so much information to take in, and then you're tested on it, and you have to remember a lot of facts, right? Did you enjoy biology?
I enjoyed it way more than math. Math is not my strong suit. So, yeah, I feel like this is something that it would be really interesting for us to share about.
Okay, it is important. And maybe Lois, did you enjoy studying biology?
I'm kind of like, I really did enjoy biology, but I enjoyed it more after I got out of high school. And I also would say that it probably definitely comes before chemistry for me.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, so we all have different experiences when it comes to different subjects, enjoy many different things, but this subject is about biology, and it's entitled Biology Matters, and the subtitle or the deck says The Myth of Gender Neutral Parenting. We have that word myth again. We've discussed this, I guess, many times, but even recently. What does that mean?
Well, a myth is usually sometimes a story that's been passed on that's not true.
Okay, or something that it's believed to be true, but it's actually not true.
Right, yeah. And it's also comes from the word mythology. So we automatically think Greek mythology, most of us.
Okay. So we are talking about the myth of gender-neutral parenting. That's kind of a mouthful, Albert. What does it mean by gender-neutral?
Right. I mean, that's a lot of words, a lot of syllables. But so gender is usually just like, you know, on a form application, you'll say, please write your name and then your gender. You usually check M for male or F for female. And so it's gender neutral, so it's not leaning towards male or female. You know, you're just neutral. You're in the middle.
Okay. It's not really, you know, focusing in on one or the other.
Right.
It's kind of the idea of gender really doesn't matter so much.
Belonging to neither kind.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so neutral.
Yeah.
And then it's used here, of course, as an adjective, a compound adjective, gender neutral parenting. And so it's also how parents are involved in all of this and how they parent their children, how they teach their children and what they do when they're bringing them up, right?
Right, right. And you know, it's interesting. I think once we get into this article, we'll talk a little bit more about it. But as soon as I was reading it, I thought, you know, we've got to get into kind of the birth order here, too, because what child you have first in your home kind of sometimes sets the home.
Sure, yes. All right, and you can tell us much more about that later. And we do have a lot to talk about today. We're on page 32, so if you have your magazine, go ahead and open it up to page 32, or if you have your electronic device, you can also follow along there. We'll have our first reading for today. Biology Matters, The Myth of Gender-Neutral Parenting. In steadfast pursuit of gender equality and to promote nonconformity, it's become popular in some social circles to start early, very early, by raising young children in a gender-neutral way, not revealing the baby's sex at birth, for example. There's also pressure on corporations to help. Parental complaints led Target to stop sex segregating its toys, for instance. Free rein? offering kids the opportunity to pursue what they'd like, freed from societal expectations, is an undeniably positive thing. Whether it has to do with toys, clothing, or their future aspirations. But the scientific reality is that it's futile to treat children as blank slates with no predetermined characteristics. Biology matters. All right, well, we start off with the phrase, or the two words, in steadfast pursuit. The phrase in steadfast pursuit. So let's talk about that word steadfast, Lois.
Yeah, it's a term we don't use that much anymore, but it means staying the same for a long time and not changing quickly or unexpectedly.
Okay, it has the idea of being persevere, right? You stick with something.
Stay the course, right?
Okay, and that's a good thing to do, right? Depending on what you're doing. So in steadfast pursuit of gender equality. So we talked about, Albert and the deck, gender neutral, and then here we have gender equality.
Right, it's this idea, and I would say it's also a movement, you know, for some years now, where, you know, both men and women are equal. And I feel like, you know, that to a degree is really beautiful, you know, the idea like, oh, you know, men and women can do things mm-hmm. interchangeably
right.
to a degree. Yeah.
There is equality, but doesn't mean there aren't differences, right?
Right.
Exactly.
It can be equal, but still have differences.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's a pursuit of gender equality, and they want to promote non-conformity, some people do. And, you know, if you conform to something, that means you follow something.
Mm. Right.
And, but if, so if you're not conforming, that means you're not following a path or a behavior.
Right. You know, I had an experience recently where a girl thought, well, I can't really be truly a female if I really like sports and doing sports. And I said, I don't know where you've ever got that idea, because that's not correct. And then I shared some experience in my own life and with my daughter as well. So it's being equal and also having the same opportunities, right?
Right. Yes. Okay. So, you know, they're promoting these things, and it's become popular in some social circles to start early. Okay. So you have young children and you start teaching them these things about gender equality, and you know, you don't have to conform to what everybody says. You can choose what you want, kind of idea.
Right, and I feel like this is where the difference starts to branch away from, like, oh, it's one thing to promote and teach about gender equality. It's another thing to teach about being gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is what's happening.
Okay, all right. And then, so they're doing this very early. They're raising their children in a gender-neutral way. Not everyone is doing this, but this is kind of somewhat of a trend, you would say. Okay, and they give an example of this.
Yeah, they say not revealing the baby's sex at birth, for example. Now, that's not what I've experienced back home, because now everybody has these gender reveal parties.
Mm-hmm.
So you find out what sex a baby you're going to have, and you have a party before
yeah.
the baby's born, and you reveal to all your friends and family,
right.
yes, I'm going to have a girl, or yes, I'm going to have a boy. So to me, this is quite new thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So not revealing the baby's sex at birth. Wow, that's new to me.
Right, because they don't want to make a big deal out of it, right? And so they just think, well, just wait until the baby is born. We don't want to focus on, you know, the gender. Okay, so this is the thinking for some people. So there's also pressure on companies, corporations, and we get an example here. There's a store in the United States and maybe also in Canada, I'm not sure. It's called Target, and you can buy clothes there and toys and so forth. But what were they kind of forced to do?
Right. So, you know, there was a lot of complaints to Target, and Target is, at least in the West Coast, a really popular chain store,
mm-hmm.
right? They have trendy clothing and at a really good price.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is they also sell toys, but the parents wanted Target to stop sex segregating its toys, for instance. So basically, you know, usually in a toy aisle, traditionally you'll see there's a section for boys, there's a section for girls, and now they wanted to not have that divide, that mm-hmm. segregation.
Right. And this word, to segregate, here means to separate. And so oftentimes, though, we use this when it comes to race, segregation of races. And that's probably the most common usage. But here, of course, they're just talking about separating the male and the female toys. That people didn't like that. They didn't like that they segregated that.
Right.
And so they wanted everything to be together. Right.
And what we might really be familiar with now is segregating by age,
mm-hmm.
right? That's done a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so different age groups, you break things up by age, you split it up that way. So these are just some examples of this kind of way of thinking. Gender equality being gender neutral, and you know, that term gender equality can mean many different things, right? And so when it comes to this, maybe, you know, we're talking about, you know, not focusing on the gender so much, but in other terms, other ways, gender equality is just talking about the genders are both equal. And so you can describe that and talk about that, I guess, in a little bit of different way. But we're focusing on this article, gender neutral parenting primarily. Okay, but the next section we talk about free reign. And we have a question mark here. What does it mean by free reign?
Well, free reign means it can just go every way it wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
You don't enclose it, or
right.
you don't put parameters around
freedom,
it.
Freedom, right?
Freedom.
Okay.
Exactly.
So offering kids, you know, freedom, the opportunity to pursue what they'd like, you know, freed from societal expectations, it's seen as a positive thing, right? And they use the word here, undeniably. And so most people would agree that it's good to offer kids options.
Right. I mean, like, I feel like every parent wants to give their kids the best, right? And they also don't want to limit them in any way. And so the idea is like, oh, this seems like a good path to do gender neutral parenting, not setting boundaries, not limiting them in any sense. Because, you know, sometimes there are, especially like in culture or like, you know, media where they say like girls can only do this and guys are only able to do this, or you know, guys are able to do the harder jobs, quote unquote, like doctors and stuff like that. But yeah, it kind of gets into a tricky area because now, you know, it goes on to say the scientific reality is that it's futile. It's futile being pointless to treat children as blank slates.
Okay, so it's good to give your kids some freedom. And Lois, maybe you can speak to this. Did you give your kids lots of freedom?
I certainly did. Now, you know, having a boy first, basically, the boy's toys came into the house that were described in the 1980s, because I had a boy basically in the mid-80s. So people give you gifts and give you things that they're passing down or whatever. So you have all these boys' toys in those days, considered boys' toys. Well, then my daughter has such an interest in them because her big brother's playing with them. And I never, ever thought of Duplo or Lego or blocks as boys' toys.
Okay.
They were like for either child,
right.
male
okay.
or female.
So there was freedom in that.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have some examples here, you know, when it comes to toys, clothing, or their future aspirations, their dreams, their goals, that we would say, you know, of course, whether you have a girl or a boy, you want them to have these aspirations, these goals, right?
Right, and I feel like this does kind of matter to a degree, because I remember recently doing a speech contest, and the girls were talking about how when they were younger, they wanted to play in the mud, but they would be wearing like these really nice dresses. And then they felt like they couldn't play, especially with the boys, and they wanted to wear pants, and they felt like, oh, maybe that's not something they're supposed to do. Right. But I mean, it was just, you know, I feel like parents were like, oh, well, it's nice to have, you know, girls dressing dresses. But then you don't think beyond like, oh, maybe it's limiting in some sense. And then the little girl didn't want to cause any disturbance by asking for pants or anything. Yeah.
Okay. All right, but the scientific reality is that it's futile, as Albert mentioned earlier, to treat children as blank slates. Now, what is a blank slate?
Well, I always think of a blank slate as being empty. There's nothing on it. and something has to happen to put something on it.
Mm. Okay, and maybe you haven't, you know, experienced certain things and that sort of thing, so in that sense you're a blank slate. Okay, so, but what the author here is talking about is, you know, you can't just treat children as blank slates. There are some things that, some characteristics that are predetermined, Albert.
Right, and biology matters, you know. Mm-hmm. What the kid is born as matters.
Right, and so a kid is born with certain traits. It's already there, and they will, you know, maybe be geared in one direction or the other.
Right, and I saw that with my own children. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them, like I can always think of, my daughter was gravitated more to flowers, for instance, than my son did.
Yeah.
You know, I never pointed either one of them
right.
in the direction.
Right.
She was just more gravitated to that.
Right. Okay. So
whereas my son, he really wanted to dig in the vegetable garden.
Yeah. So it was just kind of automatic, right?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Okay, so biology matters. That's how we end this section, and that is the title of our article. But now we want to go back to the basics. Back to basics. A large and long-standing body of research literature shows that toy preferences, for example, are innate, not socially constructed or shaped by parental feedback. Most girls will gravitate toward socially interesting toys, like dolls, that help social and verbal abilities develop. Most boys will gravitate toward toys that are mechanically interesting, like cars and trucks, fostering visuospatial skills. One recent study, published in Infant and Child Development, showed that these preferences emerge as early as 9 months of age, before children are developmentally aware that gender differences exist, at around 18 months. Okay, so we've been talking about this, but now we're getting into some research, which is always nice, right? To see what the research says. Mm-hmm. What does research back up? Okay, so a large and long-standing body of research literature shows what?
That toy preferences, what you prefer, for example, are innate. Now, innate is a quality or ability that you are born with and not one you have learned. So
okay.
It's something that cannot be taught or conditioned.
Yeah, we just learned a moment ago about predetermined characteristics. Same idea. It's already there, right? It's innate. It's born within you. There are some preferences there, even, you know, toy preferences.
Mm.
And does your children prefer one toy over the other, Lois?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a daughter that never gravitated towards Barbies or dolls,
mm-hmm.
which was hugely disappointing
mm-hmm.
to me
mm-hmm.
because I kept all my
yeah.
Barbies and Barbie clothes
right.
for my
yeah.
daughter. But like I said before, she kind of gravitated towards her big brother's toys because
mm-hmm.
they were already in the house
right.
and she also just liked to build things. So
mm-hmm.
she was interested in the Lego and the blocks and the big huge cardboard box and things
okay.
like that.
All right.
I really like how Lois used the word gravitate towards, which is also in our vocabulary-focused
mm-hmm.
word. You know, it's just something like, imagine a magnet pulling you towards it, you know, you're just attracted to it.
Yeah. All right, and Lois's examples, you know, she mentioned that her daughter was not, you know, really interested in dolls and stuff,
no,
which is what a lot of girls are, but yeah. not every girl, right?
No, not at all she was. She liked her yellow blankie.
Right.
I can remember that.
Yes, right. Okay, so it does vary, but I think what it's saying here in general, you know, as we'll learn later, that boys are usually... they gravitate toward a certain kind of toys, and girls usually gravitate toward a certain kind. And so, but it's not always the case, right? So, we get into that right now, actually. It says most girls will gravitate toward what?
Well, they'll most likely gravitate towards dolls and toys that help social and verbal abilities to develop.
Okay, and if you gravitate toward, we've used that a lot already, of course, that you're attracted to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so socially interesting as a kind of a funny way, not funny, but interesting, mm-hmm. not to use that word again, but a way of saying it. If something is socially interesting, I think that's talking about it's accepted in society. It's common in society, right? And so, of course, we think of girls playing with dolls and boys maybe playing with cars. As it says next, most boys will gravitate toward toys that are mechanically interesting.
Mm-hmm, like cars and trucks, mm-hmm. fostering a visuospatial skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means that relating to how someone sees the position, size, and area of something.
Okay, so as a kid, you're trying to figure out how everything looks and the size of something and space and all of that. And so, you know, boys maybe tend to think more like that. You know, they're playing with something that has to do with a machine or something like that. And then girls usually are maybe playing with a doll and things that develop verbal abilities and so forth.
Yeah, and I just want our readers to realize we're saying usually mm-hmm. or often happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong at all if your daughter wants to play with what we think of as boys'
yeah.
toys or your boy wants to play with what we think of as girls'
mm-hmm.
toys.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we see a recent study was published in Infant and Child Development, and what did it show us?
Well, it showed us that, you know, preferences emerge as early as 9 months of age. That's really darn early. Before children are developmentally aware that gender differences exist at around 18 months. So half the time before they're, you know, aware of what's going on, they already have a preference towards a certain kind of toy.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see when children become developmentally aware. That is at around 18 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they are choosing this before that, Lois.
Right, right. It says as young as 9 months old. And, you know, once again, I think it is a difference depending if you're an only child, the firstborn, or how many brothers and sisters are in your household.
Okay. All right. So that's a bit about the research. Let's look more into the next section to find out about further support. Further support. Another piece of evidence comes from studying girls who were exposed to high levels of testosterone prenatally. In the case of a genetic condition called congenital adrenal hyperplasia, or CAH. Girls with CAH tend to be gender nonconforming and will prefer toys that are typical to boys, even when their parents offer more praise for playing with female typical ones. This speaks to the vital role of hormones in developing gender preferences and sex differences in behavior more broadly. Okay, so we are looking at more evidence here, and we're talking about girls now who were exposed to something, exposed to high levels of testosterone. Albert.
Right, so testosterone is a hormone that helps the development of sex characteristics, generally found in greater amounts in males.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're exposed to this prenatally, that's before birth,
mm-hmm.
okay, and in the case of a genetic condition, and then we get the name of it there, congenital adrenal hyperplasia. And what exactly is that? That's a big, long term, Lois.
Yeah, so we give it a short form, right?
Yes.
We call it CAH.
Mm-hmm.
Girls with CAH tend to be gender nonconforming and will prefer toys that are typical to boys.
Okay, and let's take a look at what CAH is. Okay, it's any of several genetic disorders that are marked by a lack of an enzyme, and this actually affects the adrenal glands and results in a person's inability to produce hormones that help regulate the immune system and so on. And so it's kind of complicated there, but they're lacking something, and as a result, it affects them. It changes them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as Lois just said, they will prefer toys that are typical to boys,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or my daughter has chosen a career for herself that is way more male-dominated mm-hmm. than female, by far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also what she liked more. She
what
liked,
is that?
She is a woodworking technologist.
Okay.
So she actually is like a specialized carpenter.
Nice. Okay. So maybe even the parents, they try to gear them in a different direction. Maybe get them to play with dolls and so forth, but that's not what they're interested in. So what does this do? This speaks to the vital role of hormones, right?
Right, and also how it just shows further support that biology matters. You know, typically boys will have higher testosterone count, or testosterone in general, mm-hmm. and, you know, we can see why it would lead to gravitating towards mechanically interesting toys for
mm-hmm.
them.
Right, and so we see that there is something in the body that is causing this result, right, and bringing this about. When girls have these higher levels of testosterone, they tend to be geared more toward toys that boys typically like.
Right.
Okay, so that is, you know, about all the time we have today, but I hope you get a good idea of the research that has been done here and kind of the ideas behind it. And, you know, we know that this topic is somewhat sensitive, and so there are a lot of different opinions and thoughts, but it's good to be open to the research that has been conducted, and we can stop and think and maybe ask questions.
Right.
Right? So we have more to talk about this subject. We hope that you will come back tomorrow as we will continue our discussion of biology matters. Until then, this is Brandon,
Lois,
and Albert
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.